Welcome to episode 180 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast. Yeah, I just want to let that jam go for a little bit longer. Let's just bring it back. All right, so this is, in fact, the Permaculture Pimp Cast, the only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture preparedness and, of course, practical living. And as always, I am Billy, your host. And remember, before anybody else, if you're just now tuning in, remember PIMP, P-I-M-P stands for Permaculture is My Passion. So, man, this has really, really been a long, long day. It's about, let's see, it's about 9 o'clock and I'm just now getting in here. It has been a long day. And thanks to a lot of folks out there that are ordering a lot of bone sauce. I guess the word's finally getting out, but man, I've been really at making, I mean, hard at making this stuff because it's not a quick process. It takes a while, but I'll come to that in a minute. This episode is always brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Remember, handle all your preparedness needs yourself and the things you can't get. Go check out Heaven's Harvest. And if you would like to, oops, didn't turn it up very loud. If you would like to,
tip a pip,
you can do it over there on the Fountain app where you can drop some SATs on some PIMPs if you're so inclined. And remember, sats are basically a derivation of Bitcoin and you can do it over there on the Fountain app. So we're going to jump right into it. Now the Homestead Honey can't be with me because obviously she is busy as well. She's working down there on her latest compost recipe. And it's a little bit different because depending on the time of the year, obviously your materials are going to change. So that's what she's working on right now. And it's for a larger cause that we'll get in or larger reason that we'll get in probably months from now. But anyway, it's just another little, let's call it a hurdle that she got to jump right now. So farm news, let's see here. Well, we had family visit, Melanie and Scott, this last Saturday. It was a real joy to be able to hang out with them and find out what they've been up to. I knew Melanie, but I mean, obviously she's Michelle's cousin, and I guess that would make her my cousin as well. So yeah, so ever since she got married years ago, we never met her husband. So it was cool to meet him, and it was great to hang out. And yeah, it was just really, really cool to be able to just kind of slow down. And we usually do on Saturday anyway. So, yeah, it was really cool to be able to hang out for a little bit and just kind of catch up and see how everybody was up, see what they were up to. And, yeah, so it's always a joy. And then I'm going to have some other family in this Friday, but I'll save that for later. All right, so other things we got going on. Like I said, bone sauce. Man, I don't know who's been putting out the word on this stuff, but, man, we can't keep it in stock. Every single time I make more, it's like, bam, it's sold out. And the thing is, I mean, I may run out. And folks, if it doesn't come back online real quick, look, I'm a farmer first. And this stuff takes a lot of time. And if it doesn't come out perfect, well, I'm not going to sell it. I mean, it's, you know, it's just the way it's got to be. I'm not going to have to do anything. And my name's on this product, so it's going to be the best that it can be. So if anybody's a little upset about that, I'm sorry. But I can only make this stuff so fast. I can only make it in small batches. And I'm not going to risk the quality of this stuff by changing up what I know works. A lot of people have given me advice about, hey, do it this way, do it that way. But I'm really the only one that knows how to make this stuff. I tried showing William, I don't know how many times, and he could get it right maybe, I don't know, maybe 20% of the time. Well, then you start losing money because, I mean, this is product, you know. I mean, you can't be out there destroying this stuff. And you go too long, it messes it up. You go too short, it doesn't work right. So you got to get it right. So Yeah, so we got some in stock, and how long it's going to be there, I do not know. But, folks, I'll try to do what I can. But like I said, I'm a farmer first, and if I can make more when I'm able, then I'll get it done. But, yeah, it is what it is. So we got other news going on right here, and we got some baby sheep, man. They are so bloody cute, I'm telling you. We got one that's this. They were twins. We got all of them are pregnant right now. And the one that was a good mama the last time out, well, she had twins, and they are absolutely jumping all over the place, running up and down. One's black, one's white, and they're just absolutely darling. But Michelle can't look at them because if she does, well, you know, she's going to get attached. But there is no way you can look at these guys and not see how cute they are. But, yeah, they're nursing. They're doing well. And then it looks like, I'm guessing this one looks like it's going to have a prolapse. I'm not sure. Man, I'm hoping not. I mean, this batch ain't, it was better in the brochure. This batch is not as good as we were led to believe, but hopefully we get some good ones out of it. So far, we got a few that looks like, well, we'll just let it. I'm not going to jinx anything. We're just going to pray and hope for the best. And hopefully these guys produce some good ones. But like I said, we got a prolapse and that's going to be an issue. And, yeah, so that won't be pleasant. Anyway, let's see what else we got going on. Started this, last weekend when Michelle was out there doing her, 26 and a half mile ruck march, I got into this online Bible study course, with one of the guests, or actually with a couple of the guests on the program. And, man, it's really good. So, you know, it's about the closest thing I've been able to find to a church around here. And I'm thankful for it, man. I'll be honest with you. Because it's like either around here, it's either a woke church or, you know, I could go down. I'm not going to go out down that rabbit hole, but it is good to be able to, even if it's online, to be able to do this stuff and get it from another perspective. Well, what else we got going on here? We got some blueberries out there kicking. Not the best time in the world to plant these guys. But like I said, if I find good deals, and folks, I told you about it before. If you go to one of these garden centers, man, you are going to get robbed. I have bought things off of Etsy. I bought them off of Craigslist. Have had largely no problem with them. And you're going to save a pile of money. The same ones I put in out there, I'm not kidding y'all. For those who haven't watched the video, I think it just came out today. You know, I'm putting out plants that the nursery would be charging about $100 for. They were charging $72 for plants that were about two-thirds the size of the ones I have right now. I got three-year-olds for $23 a piece. And then I got some others for $13 a piece. And those were like two-year-olds. So there are deals to be had out there, but you're not going to find them at your garden store. In fact, man, like some of the ones they have around here, man, they're just downright ripping people off. You're not going to tell me this thing's worth $72. And you planted it a while back, so don't tell me it's inflation. It's just people are gouging. And you can still find deals out there. And that's exactly, you know, in time, part of what I want to do out here is, you know, create that nursery where I can get people affordable stuff. You know, I mean, the bigger idea, I mean, it just makes me sick that how many people are out there absolutely gouging folks because they know folks feel desperate right now. And it drives me nuts. So, look at, believe it or not, you can find some decent deals on Etsy. I've gotten burned a time or two on Etsy, but by and large, I mean, I've gotten some decent deals there. And like I said, Craigslist also. Cool thing about Craigslist, man, you can go out there, pick it up. If it ain't what you want, or you can call them up, you can at least contact them. But these local garden stores, man, they are absolutely, they're not telling me, look, I know what the price was when you put this thing, when you started it 3 years ago. You're not telling me that your cost is anywhere close to those $72. And so, yeah, I won't belabor that, but I think I've already gone past where belaboring it. But anyway, other things we got going. Michelle's out there planting or was planting potatoes. She put it in this area where we had an instant garden going. Now, we tried potatoes in there before. When I say instant garden, folks, it's another way of saying sheet mulching. It's Jeff Lawton's way of sheet mulching. And you can basically call it an instant garden. We tried potatoes in a place where the soil was absolutely awful. Now, doing sheet mulching, Man, Jeff Lawton said you could produce, I don't remember exactly what he said when he does it. It could be a quarter of an inch, maybe a half inch. Man, we've seen every bit, I mean, inches of soil like 2 years into this thing. And it's as fertile as you can. I mean, it was nothing but solid, packed, solid clay. We didn't broad fork. We didn't do anything. We just went out there, sheet mulch, put the potatoes in. It wasn't a great crop, but this year, man, that ground is it's ready to rock and roll, man. So it's off and running. So she's out there doing that. And man, we're going to have so many potatoes coming out of our ears. But folks, that's part of why I wanted to bring this up. Now, a lot of people say, well, I got a garden. If things jump off, I got a garden. Well, let me ask you, what are you growing in that garden? Because let's stop and think about it. You might want to, if you're doing any of this, if you're doing any survival gardening, you might want to consider storage crops for a lot of this stuff. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with canning tomatoes and stuff like that. But are there other things out there where you get way more bang for the bucks? Potatoes, sweet potatoes. I'm talking like starches. Can you put in some perennial climbing yams? Are there some other perennial? I remember Joseph Simcox once upon a time was real big on that stuff. He used to work for Baker Creek. He might still, but I sat through a seminar that he once did where he was going on about this. And it was at that time, this is years ago, y'all, made me an absolute believer of trying to grow as many perennial tubers as possible. And so think about these times. Everything's on edge. I'm going to talk about the main part of this show. In fact, it might just tickle the ears of some of the people out there that like to hear me talk about doom. But that's really not the idea here. That's really not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is get you to stay alert, stay alive. And part of that is, yeah, you can grow your flowers and everything. And that's all well and good. And you should, you know, there's a lot of good reasons why you should do that sort of thing. But can you grow beans? Things you can put back. Can you grow potatoes? Can you grow sweet potatoes? Can you grow things that in the worst of times can get you through? And yes, you can. But it's not going to be a lot of the, you know, really, are you going to live on squash? Nope. You're going to live on zucchini? Nope. Even though it produces a whole lot. You might want to think about those storage crops where you can get a whole lot of bang for that buck, folks. And that's exactly why I keep going on about it. Okay, a lot of people are asking about comfrey, especially in the Q&A part of it. I could harvest some now, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it responsibly, y'all. I know that folks want this, and you may have to go to somebody else if you want it any faster, but I can only do this responsibly. There was a guy I knew back in Louisiana. It was around the Shreveport area, and he was running organic pigs. Okay, let me just say it another way. The pigs were certified organic, but they were in the most awful conditions because he fed them organic grain. Well, technically, they were organic pigs. Well, he got too big for his britches, and, you know, he destroyed his whole operation. And that's exactly, I've used that example over and over and over again, and there's tons of other examples I could use. But where we get a little bit greedy and we say, oh, I'd like to make that money. Remember, folks, I told you before, my idea with comfrey was to put myself out of business. I want it so ubiquitous that I can't sell it. And it's starting, I think, to become that way. And now, typical of a lot of folks, they see something that seems like a trend. Oh, it's an easy business to start, homestead business. I'm going to get into it. And that's what we're seeing. And a lot of people don't understand or do a lot of what it is. You're propagating comfrey, but do you know what it is? Do you know what it does? Do you know any of those things? So that's all I would encourage people to do. But yeah, as far as us producing it here, we may be a couple of weeks out. It's really tough to say. I'm thinking we're going to be a couple of weeks out, and then we can start digging some of this up and sending it out to you. But yeah, it's on down the line, but I got to do it responsibly. Man, there's been a weird thing going on lately, and I don't know if it's because of what we do here, because I live here. Maybe I just don't pay attention, but man, I can't even count the number of people that are driving by and then just kind of creeping. It's almost kind of creepy. And I don't know who these folks are. I don't know if they're, you know, people from the internet. I don't know if they're locals. I don't know what it is. Like I said, maybe because I live here, I don't, you know, you kind of become blind to certain things. But man, folks are like slowing down and the dogs are going nuts. And of course, you know, we got electronic and non-electronic means of surveillance around here. So, you know, it's always, you always kind of, you know, you always keep an eyebrow out when you have at least a some sort of a public persona. Because I got other friends that do this sort of thing, man, and they got some stories that to me sound a lot like horror stories. So yeah, there's some people creeping by, but we are protected in multiple ways. All right, so sounds like, yeah, sounds like the festival, Kentucky Sustainable Living, man, that thing was a hoot. Sounds like it went off very, very well. And man, that just makes my day. And boy, they really knocked it out of the park with that one. I had a chance to talk with Jason and my son briefly today. I guess they were filming a little bit of content together. And yeah, so that was really, really awesome to hear. I'm glad folks are actually taking this advice and showing up to these things. We got some others coming up. If you're down in Dothan, Alabama, we got Keeper of the Old Ways. That's going to be April 12th and 13th. Really good festival. I really loved it there. And it's sad that I'm not going to make it this year because I've kind of made friends down there. And man, it was just such a wonderful time. I will be at Mountain Readiness, though, because that's near to the house, and that's going to be May 3rd through the 5th, and Fit Farmer's going to be there, Daniel Salatin's going to be there, that bee lady, I don't remember her name, but I think she's up in Virginia, I know she's going to be there as well, and I'm telling you what, y'all, it is the best festival you've never heard about, and I'm not overselling it. Go there, find out for yourself, you're going to be floored when you find out all that they got going on in this place. So it was a real joy to be there. And frankly, I can't wait to go back. Hopefully we still got a planet, but I'll come to that in a minute. All right. So Redemption Shield will get you 10% off with promo code PERMA. I got my feet right now as I'm speaking on one of these grounding mats. In fact, Melanie, I didn't even know it. My wife's cousin that came visit. She listens to the show. I did not know that. And, she was saying, I was telling her things I'd said on the show. She's like, yeah, listen to it. You know, I mean, and so anyway, she has a Redemption Shield mat and she uses it. So I'm, you know, it's just really awesome. When you have family, typically when you say something, a lot of times your family kind of dismisses what you say. That's why doctors don't treat their own family or not supposed to. But it's pretty awesome when you have family members that actually say, hey, I'm checking out and I like what you're doing. And you know, help support you any way they can. But honestly, this is a product that I really stand behind. I got behind everybody else doing this stuff out there. They were the only ones to give me the okay to test their stuff. And being a journeyman electrician that I have been for 25 years, IBEW trained, I'm here to tell you their stuff works. I wear their shielding hat every single morning when I'm out there doing the chores or whenever it's cold. So it gets the things done. Grounding, shielding, it could all be acquired at RedemptionShield.com, 10% off with promo code PERMA. So let's get into the good news. So yeah, check this one out. I never really cover this. I know we're permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes the paranormal and the parapolitical, but check this out. I never thought about the survival drinks you might put back. I have a little, but no, I've never talked about it. I don't know why, but it's kind of silly that I haven't. And some of the ones in this article are obviously water. I mean, that's going to be, you know, I mean, I think that's pretty self-evident. You need water. So that's going to be one of them. But we tend to forget about the other things that have long shelf lives. I mean, back before Obama shut down all the Mormon canneries and stuff, we used to go there and go, you know, you can get bulk stuff for, I mean, dirt cheap. They had the powdered milk. They had all of it, man. And now, like I said, to my understanding, they're pretty well shut down, or at least maybe you can still buy it, but it's not in the same capacity because you would go in there with a group and they would show you how to do all this stuff. It was really, really neat back in the day. But anyway, some of those liquids that you ought to think of, obviously the water, but think about things like coconut water, powdered milk. I mentioned that. Things like coffee. Now, I will say that if you're putting back coffee, look, man, coffee's got a shelf life. If you can somehow, now this is a double-edged sword, what I'm about to tell you. If you put back green coffee beans, to my understanding, they keep forever and a day. Now, this article doesn't mention anything about that, but I used to actually roast my own coffee back in the day. I'd order it from all over the planet, and is impossible. I mean, you can't beat it. If you haven't tasted coffee like that with this freshly roasted, man, you haven't had coffee. I'm dead serious. If you're drinking all that stuff off the shelf, I mean, it's basically rancid. You just don't know it. But anyway, think about putting some of that back. But like I said, if it's coffee, now think about this. You find yourself in a survival situation. You start roasting coffee beans. Do you think that might be a calling card to anybody that might come and want to take your stuff? Because it, believe it or not, it's just not just your, think about your five senses. Smell is very, very powerful, especially if you haven't eaten anything in days. People smell you doing coffee. You know, tea, you can usually, tea isn't as pungent as a coffee. But think about that. I mean, you're better off sometimes, like, you know, back in the day, we would, I mean, this is like years ago, back in the Army. I mean, you could take those coffee beans and stick them in your mouth or something like that. You kind of get the same effect, at least from the caffeine or whatever. But if you're going to be out there roasting coffee, man, or even making any, remember, the smell of that stuff goes a long, long, long way. So think about the coffee, teas, cocoa, all those other things. But you want to make sure you do all these things tactically. And I don't think enough people talk about that. All right, so here's some other good news. Texas public schools pull out $8.5 billion from BlackRock. And why? Because BlackRock is no good. I was going to say something way worse, but, you know, basically their fossil fuel position. And I hate saying fossil fuel because there is no such thing as a fossil fuel, y'all. I mean, even as a kid, I would say, well, this makes no sense. You're telling me all this stuff came from dead dinosaurs? I mean, I always said it as a kid. Oil is abiotic. The Nazis knew from way back. In fact, check out Colonel Fletcher Prouty, one of the big insiders. In fact, in that movie JFK, Mr. X was modeled after Colonel Fletcher Prouty. And listen to what he says about peak oil and where it all came from and who is behind it. Of course, Kissinger was involved and the Rockefellers, of course. Oil is the second most plentiful liquid on planet Earth outside of water. Dead serious. They'll drain these holes and then they come right back. Well, anyway, I said all that to say this. Obviously, Texas is big on oil, has been for a long time, but BlackRock, you know, the what are they talking about? Like the ESG investing and stuff like that is basically putting the brakes on some of the stuff that's going on in Texas. So this school said, you know what? We're going to pull that $8.5 billion away from y'all and we're going to go elsewhere. That's how you do it. That's how you starve a beast. You got to take the food away from it. All right. Now, here's the other good news article. Man, I ain't going to lie, y'all. This one here just made my day. And a lot of you are already going to know about it. But I talk about it too often in the YouTube videos and some of the other things, so there's no way I'm not going to talk about this. Tennessee Senate bill passes, and yeah, you had about six of the Texas senators that voted no. 24 were in favor. Now it goes over to the House. Now, you're probably going to see, I'm curious to see how this pans out in the House, and then ultimately is the governor going to sign it? And I'm just wondering, you know, you don't make a law concerning something that isn't happening. Everybody can look up there, but most people don't. You can look up there and you can see what's going on. But by and large, most people really don't. I don't know how many people over the years I've pointed this out to. Oh, that's just, even a guy that was in the Air Force. I'm like, dude, I showed him a video. No, I didn't. I'm like up in the sky. I'm like, look, dude. It's going, and then it stopped, and now it's going to keep up. That's not a contrail, dude. That's a chemtrail. You're telling me it stopped for about 5 seconds and then started all over again? No, that is something they are spraying. Aluminum salts, barium oxide. Check out. I've talked about it before, but I'm so glad that at least if this passes in Tennessee, I mean, if it actually passes, y'all, and I'm waiting with bated breath. This will send shockwaves all across this country. And then now, I mean, I will, if need be, I will be the one to lead it in North Carolina. I will do whatever I have to do probably ought to do it anyway. It's just trying to find the bandwidth to make it happen. But like they say, you want something done, give it to a busy person. And I am definitely that. So I'm hoping this thing passes. I know how sinister and diabolical they can be, even in the state legislatures. So probably there's a whole lot of pockets being greased right now. I'm curious to see how it pans out in the House, and then whether or not the governor signs it, because now all of a sudden it is on the radar. There's no way people are going to say, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. There's no way that's just going to happen anymore. So I'm hoping and praying that this thing goes all the way up. But like I said, just the fact that it passed the Senate, you can believe the powers that shouldn't be that are absolutely responsible for all this stuff going on. You can absolutely believe it's a full court press right now coming down on these folks. All right, with that said, we're going to go over to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, the fundamentals of a good pitch. I was recently listening to the Diary of a CEO podcast, which unfortunately they've been leaning into the clickbait titles, so I tend to not listen to them that often anymore. But my friend said this was a great episode, and it was with Daniel Priestley, who I've never heard of before, but he had a really good approach to business and particularly pitching your idea. So he has an acronym he came up with, and it's called CAPSTONE, and that stands for Clarity, Authority, Problem, Solution, The Why, Opportunity, Next Steps, and Emotion. So clarity, don't confuse people. It's pretty self-explanatory. So be clear about your message or your product, what you're pitching, basically. Authority, why are you worth listening to? Why are you an authority on the subject or product? Is it because of your experience? Do you have particular data that no one else has? A history in the industry? Or have you studied under a mentor that's regarded highly? Next is define the problem. So what is the problem you're solving? And what is the solution you've created to that problem? And the why. Why do you care enough about this that people want to invest in you particularly to carry this forward? And define the opportunity. What is the bigger opportunity or investment for someone to get involved in? Then next steps. So the call to action. What should people do next to get involved? And lastly, and most importantly, is the emotion or the essence. So what feeling do you want to leave people with? What are you really about? So leave people with an emotion, generally to be inspired. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts, or remote permaculture consultation or design, head over to ericsider.com.
Bam, that's my dog. I'm sitting here wearing one of his shirts right now. And this one, it's a quote from Jeff Lawton. So yeah, I don't even make shirts anymore because it's kind of hard to compete with the shirts Eric puts out. And boy, you talk about conversation starters. Yeah, man, that's a really good show, folks. Diary of a CEO, but I'm right there with Eric. Eric was actually the one that turned me on to that show. And there's times, man, they have some really, really awesome guests on there. And there are times also, like Eric said, you know, the clickbaity titles and stuff. I'm not really caring half the time about what celebrities are doing, but there are some really good shows on there. Also, Ed Milet. I mean, that's one I really try not to miss. And then there's another one that's a little more blue. It's the, the Real AF podcast with Andy Frisella. And, man, you can get a lot of good stuff on there, but like I said, they are going to be using some salty language on there. So if you're averse to such things, or if it puts you out that much, you might want to skip that one. But yeah, good stuff all the way around, as always. And boy, I learned a lot of good stuff in terms of, man, just from Ed Milet's podcast alone, man, you can really, really take so much out of there. All right, so EMP Shield, y'all, $50 off with promo code PERMA, PERMA. Remember, you're going to have all kinds of dangers and things. In fact, I'm going to get into some of them here in a minute, so stick around. You know, EMP is clearly on the radar these days, obviously. And EMP Shield didn't reach out to me, folks. I reached out to them because as a journeyman electrician with 25 years experience, believe me, I've installed a lot of TVSSs or transient voltage surge suppressors in a lot of different manufacturing facilities, and not anybody. And I mean, nobody comes even close to EMP Shield. not with a guarantee. And like I said, if anything gets Kentucky fried at your house, Lightning or otherwise, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. So that's exactly why I reached out to them. So, I, you know, put them on your vehicles. I got them on mine and I got them on the house. So, yeah. Plus, it's also one thing I really like about it, too. If you ever have a power outage, I could put an ice cube relay on there on the main or whatever, or I could just use my EMP shield. So I could do the same thing with it. So, pretty handy stuff all the way around. All right. So, I wasn't going to cover this. I really didn't want to, but as of late, man, so many people are hitting me up about this. And it is something I kind of know about and things that I study. And I want to talk about these prognosticators of doom, y'all, because it's getting bad. When these things come up in a Bible study session, you know you probably ought to address it in the podcast. This is why we talk about permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. All of them are synonymous, if you ask me. All of them are absolutely positively synonymous. Now, let me back up a little bit. 322. If you go back and look on YouTube, I put it in my community section. I put a little, had a little thing drawn up and I put it on there and posted it that morning. Lo and behold, on March 22nd, what happened? The attack in Russia. Yeah, supposedly Al-Qaeda retired. I guess they just don't, they're not around anymore. ISIS attack of all places in Russia. Anybody else find it curious that ISIS, this crazy Islamic group, has never once ever attacked Israel? You ever wonder about that? You ever wonder who's really behind them, where the money's coming from? Like the U.S. State Department, probably Israel. Every time ISIS was injured, they were treated by Israel. Nobody ever talks about that in the media, but it's a fact. Go look it up for yourself. But I digress. I put that up there because historically, 322 is one of those auspicious dates where the powers that shouldn't be create things. It's usually some calamity. And there's other dates out there too. 9/11 is one of them. Look at all the crazy things that happened on 9/11 throughout history. So when you see certain dates pop up, and in that one, I don't recall exactly what I wrote, but it was some kind of like Happy Skull and Bones Day, which is, by the way, where 322 came from. It's the number at Yale University. They have this place called Skull and Bones. And on their insignia, it has 322. So 322 came around, and I thought about doing it the day before, and I debated on whether or not to do it. And I said, well, let me just go ahead and do it. And then I put it on there like stay alert, stay alive. And I had it make this crazy caption of all these former presidents who were all members of Skull and Bones. And folks, it would floor you if you knew how many. Anyway, it happened. And the fallout of what happened in Russia, I don't even want to start thinking about where this could potentially lead. But the typical prognosticators of doom have come out of the woodworks. In fact, they've been at it for a long, long time. At least in my case right there, I was proven correct. I mean, did I know for sure? No. But I did know that it's 322 and crazy things usually happen on 322. So we got these other people out there that are basically every single month. I'll pick on this guy, Bo Pony. Bo and his pony, P-O-L-N-Y. Looks like a friggin' used car salesman every time I see him in one of these podcasts. Anytime you see a visual version of this guy, he just looks like a used car salesman. I mean, and not in a good way, because there's actually some decent used car salesmen out there. But this guy, I mean, he's got a pink shirt, purple jacket or whatever. He looks like he's about to be shot out of a cannon half the time. Anyway, he's on here. He's going on about all these dates. Now, he's been doing this month after month after month after month. And all these people on these shows keep having him on. And every once in a while, you know, he'll get something right. He'll call it. But they tend to forget about all the times he got it wrong. And I'm like, when is somebody ever going to call this dude out? So he's out there making the rounds every single month. I've heard this guy on somebody's program. And he's saying, okay, it's going to happen this month. And then that month comes and goes. It's like everybody forgot about it. And then he comes around next month. Here we go again. And then sooner or later, you know, he's going to be right about something because he's doing it every single month. Let me talk about some of these other people. Folks, I'm going somewhere with this. You know, you got these other people that write these books like the Bible Codes that came out, I don't know, maybe that was the late 90s, mid 90s, something like that. The Bible Codes. Yeah, all these things that are supposedly coded in the Bible, we come to find out later on that it was all a sham. And in fact, I remember a pastor at a church I was going to at that time, he was saying, well, what does it say about the future? I mean, this thing's saying all these things have happened. Somebody asked him in a Bible study, I remember, and I think it was my mom actually that asked. And he says, well, what does it say about the future? And then curious, because I'd read the book, and it was like unsure, but they were calling it to a T about everything in the past. And then he got all these other people talking about these. In fact, there have been a number of people that run in Christian circles that have written books about these celestial events, okay? Yeah. Whether it's shooting stars, whether it's full moons, whether it's blood moons. And all these people made all these predictions. Now, I didn't forget. But all these people, and I got your books on the shelf down there in case anybody wants to raise a stink about it. I read your books. And I looked at the information you provided, and all of you were wrong. And then you got this Jonathan Kahn who calls himself a rabbi. Okay, if you're a Christian, why are you not Pastor Kahn, but you're Rabbi Kahn? Okay, I digress. Sure, it's funny that you write about all these books that happen after the fact. It reminds me of the Bible Codes. And folks, I know I'm going to ruffle some feathers here, but since when do I care about that? I'm just going to tell you straight because I've been following. Look, I'm not a Johnny come lately. Unlike a lot of the folks out there that are doing this stuff on YouTube and talking about, oh, this is the way that get these 10 things now or you're going to die. Or some of these other folks that come out with these crazy whatever. Folks, I've been at this preparedness thing for a long, long, long time. In fact, William's whole life, I've been into preparedness. Me and Michelle both. Me more than her early on, but yeah. I've been at this for a long, long, long time. And I'm aware all the way back to 2000 of all these people that made these incredible claims. And it sure is funny that they seem to write these books after the fact, like the guy with the Trump prophecies, Mark Taylor. Yeah, didn't forget about you, bro. Yeah, he's going to have a second term. He's going to do all this. He's going to do all that. And then the guy just disappears when his predictions or his prophecies don't come true. The list is long of all these people making these so-called prophecies. So I gave you all that backdrop to talk about this. 2017, I was in Bowling Green, Kentucky. I was working there at the Corvette plant. I was there when that full eclipse came through like it is right now. And I remembered all the people that made all these claims about what was going to happen back then. And it was exactly what they're doing right now. Not exactly all of the same people, but I think you get the point. Now, day of the eclipse. I'm out there. I was renting an apartment in Cave City, Kentucky. And I would drive, basically, I was working every single day of the week. I'd drive to the Corvette plant. And then, you know, so I got up early that day. I was working a night shift. I got up early just so I could go out there and watch this thing. And I had some glasses. And I remember sudden hush came over everything for a moment there. Yeah, the eclipse is there. All the lights came on. It was like, I mean, it was crazy. Crickets started doing their thing. It was weird. And I remember the last time this ever happened that I'd seen it. I was a kid. And if I remember right, I might have been in sixth grade or something like that. Anyway, maybe, yeah, sixth or seventh grade. I want to say sixth grade. That was the last time I remember, you know, going through an eclipse like this. I'm out there, and all I could think as everybody's looking up at this eclipse is that a pickpocket could make a fortune right now. That's what I was honestly thinking as this eclipse was unfolding. But let's not forget all the people out there that said all these prognosticators. Remember 2000. Remember what was going to happen? Y2K. Remember what was going to happen then? Look, I'm saying all that to say this one thing, y'all. Can anybody, and I mean anybody, name any great, awful thing that was universally known that happened on the date they said it was going to happen? Yeah, dramatic pause there because you can't. 9/11. Yeah, there were a few insiders and people that could see, you know, people like Bill Cooper and maybe Freeman Fly. But outside of that, you know, you had grifters later on like Alex Jones saying that he predicted it. No, you didn't. You heard other people predict it, then you jumped on the bandwagon. Regarding some of these other events, and by the way, Bill Cooper was murdered not long after that, but he was one of the few people that actually called this thing and said it was going to happen. And then there's other folks. But by and large, can anybody name in history when an event that came, I mean, just was earth-shattering that everybody ever knew about? You can't do it. So using history as a backdrop, this is why I love being a historian. And no, you don't have to, somebody asked Philo and Josephus where their history degrees came from, but we highly regard them. So you don't need necessarily a degree to be anything. But anyway, as a historian, I'm asking myself, can I cite any examples in history where it was universally happening on this date, everybody knew about it, and it was going to go sideways? No. It's going to come and go just like it did back in 2017 when I watched that last eclipse. This same thing is probably going to happen. And now, if anything does jump off, it'll be as a result of what happened on 3/22 in Russia. Yeah. And all the usual suspects are out there right now, probably getting rich, selling you gold through their companies or selling their books, claiming that, you know, yeah, here's the prophecies of Jehu, and here's how it overlays with Donald Trump, or here's what happened back in Revelation, and this is what Bull Pony does. I mean, how this guy's coming up with whatever he's coming up with, I do not know. But all I know is every single month, I'm hearing the same people making the same claims. So what I'm getting at here, y'all, is if it could be, I'll put it this way. There were folks that were really, really hot and heavy about Y2K. It came and went. They had egg on their face, and guess what they did? Universally, most of them went right back into the matrix. I didn't fall for Y2K. I mean, be honest with you, I was so broke back then. Michelle and I were so broke. I mean, I couldn't prepare anyway. I mean, we were living in some ratty apartment, and I wasn't long out of the Army at that point, and, you know, just trying to get that transition down and move into being an electrician or whatever the case was at that time. But point being is that I didn't have a whole lot of disposable income anyway. So it would have made no difference. But the same exact thing. Everybody went right back into the matrix, folks. So if you're expecting a rope-a-dope regarding all these things, well, it's probably going to happen. But if something does jump off, it'll probably be a result of what we did, what we almost certainly did in Russia. So expect some dumb stuff to come back this way because, look, man, our State Department, ISIS, all of it, we're basically responsible for it. I mean, and you don't have to look far to figure this stuff out. Folks, you ought to be preparing anyway. It's why the tagline of this show is stay alert, stay alive. That's the whole reason for it. You shouldn't have to wait until some stupid eclipse rolls around. I shouldn't call it stupid, but you shouldn't have to wait for some eclipse to roll around before you decide to start getting prepared. You should be doing it anyway, just as a way of living. You should worry about your resupply. You should do some storage crops like I talked about a little bit earlier. You should be doing these things anyway, not because Jonathan Kahn or Bo Pony or any of the other prognosticators of doom out there are telling you to do it. So, folks, I just want you to think long and hard about some of this stuff, because it's really starting to get real in terms of how things are unfolding. I can give you 1,001 reasons why you ought to be prepared. I mean, honestly, I could probably fill volumes from the top of my head of all the reasons why you should be preparing and should have been doing it for a while. Now, I'm not one of those that's ever going to say, well, it's too late, don't prepare, because I've had people, actually, I've interviewed people that have actually said that before. And with great regret on my part, I wish I'd have never let it see the light of day, because it's really not the most encouraging. I mean, how many people have been thinking things were going to jump off for how many years now? So you do what you can, you be sensible about it, and you don't have to rush. I mean, if you're on limited money or whatever the case may be, just go out there, get a couple of extra cans of whatever it is you eat. Better still, you'll get way more bang for the buck if you can, instead of buying beans in a can, where each can, if you're lucky, is going to cost you $2 for what, a 16 ounce can, if you're lucky. Well, do you know what that same $2 could get you in terms of dry beans? So think about those things. Use your disposable income if you're able to do these things to get yourself prepared. Are there ways you could do some guerrilla gardening? Can you do it on the balcony? Can you do some microgreens? Are there other ways you can do this even if you're in small spaces? Are there public places you could utilize? So I'm not ever going to, if I can help it, ever talk about anything to where I don't at least provide a few solutions. Yeah, folks, it's out there right in front of you. There are nut trees probably all around you, and most people don't even know about them. Remember, fat is the hardest thing to find in nature. Are there other people? This is why I've been so hot lately. I mean, I always have, is ever since we had this podcast. Kentucky Sustainable Living. I'm curious, how many people this last weekend made valuable connections? And let's say you drove halfway across the country and probably met somebody who doesn't live far from you. Well, is that trip worth it to go to these things? You better believe it is. So don't worry about these prognosticators of doom. Don't worry about it. Just get yourself prepared. But remember, this is a war you don't win in miles. You win it in inches. All right, with that said, we're going to move on over to the Q&A, y'all. This segment brought to you by thetexasboys.com. They got everything from the food forest in a box. I keep, every time I say that, man, I think a cat in a hat. I don't know why, but not in a box, not with a fox, not in a house, not with a mouse. Anyway, that's not what the Texas Boys, although I'm pretty sure they are big Dr. Seuss fans. And they also got the Fearless podcast over there, so go check them out. Remember, if you go to the website, buy anything, promo code PERMA will get you 5% off whatever it is you purchase. So go check them out over there. So we're going to go into some of the Q&A I got here. And by the way, I know folks prefer it when I go live, but man, I am not kidding, y'all. Every single time, and I don't care how benign, man, they absolutely demonetize it. And, you know, they don't even tell you what you did wrong, which I don't even care. I have Bear on, and I'm like, okay, I went back and I listened to that. Look, y'all, if you're doing any good, I use these modalities, these means to reach out to folks in any way I possibly can. And I'm coloring within the lines to a certain extent on YouTube, because I know the day's coming, you know, where they're probably going to pull the plug on all this stuff. In fact, a lot of people I respect right now are even getting suppressed over on Rumble. Go subscribe to Crow House Official, and, you know, you'll have them in your little queue, and then try to find them later. So anyway, I got to keep things over here on the podcast, because like I said, they're doing everything to suppress us over there. And it means a lot to me to just be able to get the word out. Okay. So Jen says, I looked on your site for comfrey. Are you out for the summer already, or have you not yet harvested for spring? No. Yeah, I kind of answered that one earlier. So no, in a nutshell, we're hoping to have some by the end of the month. But like I said, we got to make sure we're absolutely positively harvesting this stuff responsibly. So, yeah, we don't want to have a bunch of bare dirt out there. So we got to make sure we do this the right way. So Angela says, hello, just wanted to say hi and love the video with Michelle you made recently. And she has a natural detox that's cheap. And I heard about a variation of this one before, but I was curious to see hers. It's half a cup of Epsom salt, borax, and baking soda. Stir it in the bath water and give it about 30 minutes. And I've heard from others as well that it will basically chelate aluminum, radiation, heavy metals is what she's saying. Nanobots that, you know, come from the chemtrails. It's funny she brings that up. But yeah, it sounds, I haven't personally tried that one before, but I have heard about it. Whether or not it works or not, I do not know. But yeah, I have heard about that. But I wanted to, you know, kind of let everybody else out there know as well. So Steven is making a compost pile. He's down in West Texas. So he sent me a picture of it. And folks, I got to be honest with you, part of evaluating the compost, believe it or not, comes down to what you can visit. You're using your senses a lot of times when you're looking at this compost. But when you're looking at it through a picture, I can't feel it. And I don't know the moisture content, and I don't know what it smells like. So unfortunately, I can't really do much more than a visual. And that's really not the number one way in which you're going to determine. And I mean, obviously, the number one way is to look at it under a microscope, which Michelle is going to start doing. We're going to start absolutely doing soil samples here before long. But yeah, from here, the best I can do is visually look at it. And that's really not reliable because I need to feel it and I need to smell it. So. So, look here, we got one from Chris. Says, my wife and I enjoy your videos and your PimpCast. We always learn something new. We moved to Middle Tennessee from Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah, I know a lot of folks came from Phoenix out this way. Smart move, by the way, because your water situation out there is not exactly wonderful. So anyway, they're working on clearing cedars, winged elm, Bradford pear, mimosa, red bud. And wow, they're really smart, man. It says they're keeping strategically placed nitrogen fixtures in certain places. But they got this Japanese honeysuckle everywhere, and I'm concerned that it will choke out the fruit trees. I'm going to suggest pigs. I'm not sure. I've never tried to feed them that, but I would think that would be the best way to deal with that honeysuckle. It blows my mind. If not them, then possibly goats. But I know, yeah, we all got to be masochists to be sitting here fooling around with goats. But yeah, goats or pigs are always going to be my go-to. And then if either one of them are not able to get it in check, then that's where I'm going to go to the compost extract. And I'm going to see, I'm going to bet you 10 to 1 that the area that that honeysuckle loves is highly bacterial. So what I'm going to try to do in your case, and I'm guessing on a lot of this, I mean, I would first use the pigs, use the things that tend to be invasive, basically love, in most cases, they usually love very, very bacterial kind of places. So if you can make some really good compost and then make a bunch of extract out of it, you're probably going to find out that your problems, if they don't go away, they're going to get pretty close to going away. So yeah. And using the pigs and the goats will also help to bring it that way. It's just going to take more time. But yeah, this is why I'm so big on learning how to do compost. I'm going to do a lot more of those videos, hopefully, in the future. All right, hopefully that was a blessing to y'all. Till next time, stay alert, stay alive. I was kicked as the worm.